gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What a show! Wow! It's a cavalcade. It's a cavalcade of stars.
Yes.
Comedian Margaret Cho coming up.
What a Cho, you might say.
Right?
What a Cho.
Okay. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Tammy Duckworth, who
wow.
is, top of next hour.
Yes.
Who is... I got it.
Okay.
Nobody help me. Also, Ari Berman of the Nation, a big, big show. Oh, speaking of big names...
What?
I just booked a very big name for the L.A. Sexy Liberal Show for the panel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I would hurry and get those tickets.
Oh,
they're
dear.
Almost gone. July 28th at the Pantages. Go.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's see. Also, Columbus for August 18th. Rowan says there are two meet and greet tickets left, single seats, not together. But sexy liberals get strange.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a lot of hookups. A lot of sexy liberal hookups. There's probably more a few regular tickets left, but only two.
A lot
of grease left in August.
A lot of action in the coat closet.
Yeah, that's what I'm told.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Hmm. All right. Lots to get to. Hey, speaking of big names, here he is.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Welcome back from Italy.
Thank you, bellissimo. I loved your tweet about, hey, folks, my credit union is in Burbank. Mitt Romney's is in Switzerland and the Caymans. Tell us, where's your bank? We could go visit your money. We're right here in Burbank,
that's
Carl
right.
Frisch.
We could probably see your money from here.
Yeah, where is it?
It's at the First Entertainment Credit Union right across the street from Forest Lawn.
There you go.
That's like a two-minute drive from here.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess Mitt Romney's money is just vacationing with places with little tiny drink umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
With a little sunscreen
right.
on.
It's wearing sandals with navy socks and Hawaiian shirts and khaki shorts.
Carl, what do you think? I mean, isn't the pressure going to get too much at some point? I mean, there's just too much stuff coming out that looks too suspicious, doesn't it?
Well, it looks suspicious to you and I. I mean, rich people are probably like, is that what he's doing with his money? What an amateur. I don't know that it will get to be too much. I mean, this is a guy who has been in boardrooms and everything else. So, unless the media lets it go, hopefully they don't. And hopefully people keep asking these questions.
Yeah.
He should at least have to live up to the standard that his father set.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once again, we use the word unprecedented, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody has ever, exhibited this degree of secrecy. And it makes the suspicion grow and grow, right?
Yeah. I mean, what are we supposed to think? And we can't just take him at his word because... You know, he said a different word about every issue under the sun, so
right.
He could mean the exact opposite of what he tells us.
Well, and the other thing is that that's exactly what we're trying to say in terms of, how business experience is not necessarily relevant to running for... You're running to be leader of the free world. You know, most people in business are secretive, but like, this is... You're running to be the president of the United States, right?
Yeah, I'll be clear. It is not the same thing.
Right.
It's not even close. You want to see what happens when you elect business people to be chief executives? Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California.
Yep.
Yeah. Or George W. Bush as president
of
the United
States. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Shall we, kids? Here we go. Rush Limbaugh, I'm going to guess he's going to say something, vaguely racist about the president?
A little bit.
Okay.
Obama's the Preezy of the United States.
Oh, boy.
And he doesn't dare show up. He's confident they'll boo Romney, simply because Romney's white. He's confident of that.
Oh.
No, because he's an idiot. Well,
yeah.
They booed Romney because they didn't
agree
with what
he
said.
I mean, Carl, he actually got a standing ovation when he came out. They were very respectful,
right.
very
right.
polite. It was the
right.
things he said. It was, repealing Affordable Care.
He had an opportunity for his own, sister soldier kind of moment where he could castigate those within his own party. He could have gone out there and talked about how all this voter intimidation is the wrong way to do it. He could have talked about how his party had a long failed record on issues of race. He could have talked about all those things And he didn't. He ruined his opportunity. He is so petrified of his base staying at home and ignoring him because they don't like him that he will never go off the reservation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and I love the headline today is Romney says he expected those boos. He expected the NAACP boos.
Oh, okay. That's
I mean, because you're right. He expects Rush Limbaugh to say they booed him because he's white. I mean, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then I love that he said there's, you know, he has secret blacks. Support him.
Yes.
You know, like ninja blacks, apparently.
Yeah.
That don't want to say
well,
so.
I mean, they must be secrets. I mean, you never see them behind him at any of his events. So,
right.
you know, I'm sure that they're secrets.
Exactly. All right. Michael Myers, who is not the comedian, Michael Myers on Hannity.
Right.
So the NAACP is not relevant to the black masses. They don't care about the unemployment. They
why
don't
shouldn't they speak? I think
because they should be no, wait a minute. Because let me make my point. The NAACP has become a hate group in America. They hate anybody who disagrees with them. And therefore, conservatives and Republicans who don't agree with their agenda, they hate them. And you have...
Hate.
They hate them.
With speech impediments.
Yeah, they don't hate them. They disagree with them. There's a difference, Michael Myers.
Idiot.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
You know, and the NAACP, of course, put out a very respectful statement saying we appreciate Mitt Romney's courage in coming to speak to us, but unfortunately we disagree on X, Y, and Z issues.
Right. They hate them. They hate him.
Yeah. Right. They're a hate group. They hate him. No, that's a bunch of baloney. They roll out the red carpet for these candidates every 4 years to get them to come and speak.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a drop of hate in their bodies. I think there is a drop of hate in the right wing when it comes to the NAACP.
They're projecting.
It's illustrated by what that guy just said.
Carl, no matter what happened, you know that Hannity was going to, position it like a showtime at the Apollo, right?
Right.
The second he walked out, it was like, boo, Whitey! Yeah, they leave out that they were only booing
a
policy.
He wouldn't have it either
way. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
The Democrats essentially a coalition of special interest constituencies. Obama, you know, he goes after Hispanics, blacks, women's, gays, students, unions, and he dangles in front of each of them something, either legislation or a financial reward or something in the tax code. Romney is saying, I'm going to act non-ethnically, non-specifically. I'm going to act as the president of all Americans. We all have an interest in a strong economy, all have an interest in jobs, and this will help you as it helps all other Americans.
Yeah, no that politician has ever had constituencies.
Yeah. By the way, that was a Freudian slip. He's going to act non-specifically. Yes, that's the point. He hasn't given us any specifics on anything.
He's going to act the same way he's been campaigning.
Vaguest man on earth.
And
well,
the most awkward.
You know, the shorter version of Krauthammer is Barack Obama has diverse supporters. Mitt Romney's supporters are one tone. They are green, you know.
Yeah, the one thing you could never entertain is that perhaps President Obama actually believes in some of the policies that he has put forward that happens to help those, you know, specific groups, correct?
Well, yeah, and that's the crazy thing. We never talk about how Mitt Romney's support for the super wealthy are a conflict of interest. I mean, anytime a liberal stands up for the little guy, we're told, oh, it's just politics, et cetera. Well, we never hear about Mitt Romney or other Republicans who support policies that help the super wealthy, how that's a conflict of interest or how that's bad for the country. So,
well, you have to give it to them, Carl. Obviously, no president has ever engaged in politics in an election year. That's unprecedented.
Oh, certainly not.
How dare
he? Not a fascist, communist, socialist, Maoist, Stalinist, cartoonist,
opinion,
pianist, president.
All right. Our favorite. It's Dr. Keith Ablow.
Yeah.
I was on vacation, Carl, with my psychologist friend over in Italy on the bike trip, and she's an actual psychologist, and she was like, screaming at the television because all we could get was Fox News, and they had Dr. Keith Ablow on psychoanalyzing the nation. Just about apparently we're feeling very angry and anxious about health care or something.
Whatever.
Well, you've got to pronounce his name right first, Stephanie. It's Keith Ablow.
Ablow. Oh,
exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Ablow.
Pardon me. I blew that. Okay. Keith Ablow.
At other times, if we didn't have this president and rampant unemployment, I'd say, look, it sounds a little nutty to me. But no, today, with unemployment where it is, people struggling just to get by, it's normal. What do you do in this kind of an economy when people are out of work and they're your family? You take them in.
See the casino.
Because otherwise, they could hit the streets. That's the reality of the guy we got in the corner office.
The economy was in much worse shape under George W. Bush, Mr. We're still recovering from it. You pinhead.
That's a psychological
term. This guy, He has traded in every ounce of self-respect he had as a professional.
Yes.
Just for a little bit of TV time and a check from Fox News.
That's right.
Yeah, my friend was screaming at the TV, "That's malpractice! You can't! What?"
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but Dr. Keith Abloh had a daytime talk show a few years ago, and he supported transgendered people and all that back then, but he's just completely done a 180 now that he's getting paid
by
Fox.
Are you calling him a hypocrite?
Yes, I am, Carl Frisch.
Oh, my gosh. No,
how dare you?
Let's be clear. I mean, Republicans, think that they can diagnose medical conditions over television.
That's right.
You know,
Bill Frist.
Bill Frist to this guy.
Mm.
And the reason that they think that they can do that is because they really don't want to get down in the mud and meet everyday Americans who are struggling.
You know why you say that?
Understand what it's like.
You know why you say that, Carl Frisch? Because you have daddy. Because you have daddy issues.
What?
Okay. All right. He's going to remain in the sidecar there.
Okay.
Oops, I hung up on him by mistake.
We'll
get him back.
We'll get him back.
17 minutes after.
Now he really has daddy issues.
No, now he has mommy issues, too.
Mama issues.
Right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Carl Frisch and the rest of Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Well,
that was the album that introduced Stevie Ray Vaughan to the rest of the world outside of Austin.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk about Mick Jagger and David Bowie's affair later in Celebrity Stack.
Oh, there is that.
Not exactly new.
No.
He was going through some changes. Okay. 1-800.
Turn the face, the lips.
What?
What?
No.
Hello. Oh, hi, Carl Frisch. Welcome back.
Didn't mean to hang up on you earlier.
Sorry.
No worries. I thought it was daddy issues and then right to the hang up.
All right. Let's finish up Right Wing World. Dave Ramsey, a Christian economic advisor?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
That seems like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it?
Who would Jesus
Shouldn't
sue?
Shouldn't they just be able to take out a needle and say, if you can fit through this?
Yes, exactly.
Where would Jesus hide his money? On Fox News.
Right.
Well, this is what's driving unemployment as much as anything. 64% of Americans work for a company that has less than 500 employees. And so what you're doing is you're paralyzing the number one jobs creator in America, and that's small business, with Obamacare. That's not a political statement. It's a freaking economic fact.
No.
Freaking?
Freaking.
Oh, well, then you know it's
freaking
real.
It's a fact. That's how you know, because it's freaking.
Let's be clear. Most of Obamacare still hasn't taken effect.
Right.
And this is how the right wing has been talking about it since the day he signed it into law, when nothing had happened or changed yet.
Yeah.
These people are out of their freaking minds.
Yeah, I've never gotten that leap. Like, it's a job. Giving people health care is a job killer? Ooh, what?
Yeah, how?
Huh? What does that even
mean? Well, maybe if your job is denying people health care due to pre-existing conditions.
I mean, maybe if you're Walmart trying to come up with creative ways to keep people from having health care and forcing them to go get it from the government.
Yeah.
But this is a good thing. This is something that strengthens business and the climate for business. And I think it's probably better for business if people don't end up in the hospital with simple colds that could have been treated months earlier.
Oh, spoken like a socialist with mommy and daddy issues. All right.
And again, we were losing 750, how many?
Billion?
A gajillion jobs.
Yeah.
Every second under George
W. And that's a freaking fact.
That's
that
a
number,
freaking fact.
That number, that kid number he just gave.
11 gajillion billion dollars every
I don't know when you guys will ever learn that numbers and letters and shapes and stuff, they all have a liberal bias.
That's right, exactly.
Shapes. Right. Dick Morris and Bill O'Reilly to finish up Right Wing World.
Obama's going to have a tough time getting people to watch his convention or stay awake.
Well, I understand, though, they're going to have J-Lo, and it's going to be, they're going to morph it with some kind of
Actually, she'd
program.
Be a better president.
No, she would. No. No. I know her. She would not be a better president.
That's gross.
Wow, what a creep.
Wow.
It's like listening to Jabba the
Hutt laugh. Just because the Republicans, the best they can ever do is like a barbershop quartet, this is the kind of jealousy we see every 4 years.
Yeah.
I think the DNC is going to be far more entertaining from an entertainment aspect. But if you want a good laugh, you should watch the Republican convention, because every speaker is going to be funny. I mean, they will have all of those cast of characters from the best reality show we ever saw, which was the Republican primary,
right?
All speaking at their convention. That's what I call fun.
Yep, that's good fun. All
and
right.
Dick Morris continued.
And my understanding is now that it's the 20th anniversary of the Democratic convention in which Dick Morris made the tabloids for having a toe fetish with a prostitute.
Right. Yeah.
That he might be making a return appearance.
Oh,
really? Now, all right, Carl. First, I will see you at the Democratic convention. You, me, and J Lo. Just Steffi from the block. And you.
Oh, yeah, we'll just hang out.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you there, honey. All right, bye-bye. There he goes. Tony in Chicago, speaking of conventions.
Hey,
hi, Tony.
Seth.
Hi.
Hi, Seth.
Hi.
Listen, I would like to be the unofficial campaign manager for the 2016 presidential campaign with you. As the vice president, and Hillary Clinton as the president.
I'm in. 2016, I'm sure I'm Hillary's first choice.
yes, you will. Yes, you will be. And I appreciate you having Tammy Duckworth.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
That story.
You're awesome,
yes,
representative.
I called the other day because I am a female veteran.
Oh, good for you.
And I am, you know, I feel that... you know, she has gotten a really raw deal from that teabagger.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, no, well,
I'm very, very upset about that.
She's going to come on and talk about that, Tony, in about a half an hour, so stay tuned about,
good.
By the way.
Margaret Cho.
By the way,
Margaret Cho
coming up in a couple of minutes, but, you know, she said.
Thank you, girl.
All right. Wow, she's losing her in Chicago.
I want to be the unofficial campaign manager in Chi-Town.
Okay, got it. All right, baby, got it. We got a break here. All right. What was I going to say? I can't. Tammy Duckworth says, by the way, FYI, Joe Walsh, I never called myself a hero.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's all she ever talks about.
Maybe some other people think that she's a hero. Anyone that leaves, several limbs on the battlefield for their country. So
she's not the one that's out there saying
I'm a hero.
About it. Big deal. She really doesn't bring it up.
No. No.
God, he's an idiot. I wouldn't want to talk about it if I...
Yeah. Anyway. So, all right. She's going to come on. We're very excited about that. At the top of next hour, running for Congress from Illinois against the aforementioned asshat. I was just thinking of a different word.
Not Congressman asshat.
Not
the
one
from the Eagles.
Yes. No. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Margaret Cho. I know. Right, Tony?
Right.
Chicago? Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think I'll have some breakfast wine. You can't drink my wine. I brought this wine as a gift. Therefore, it is my wine. And I will drink whatever I want. You sexy towny hoe.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Tony, I can hear her in Chicago.
Yeah.
Losing it. So excited because Margaret Cho is here. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, Margaret Cho. Got a lot of rabid fans that are just glued to their radios. Good morning.
I'm so excited. That's really flattering. Good morning.
We have to get right to your stuff because you have so much going on. I don't even know where to start. You have a brand new stand-up show called Mother. Which, of course, we're all hoping you mean your mother, right?
Yeah, well, it's all about my mother because I think that that's like what I always have kind of been known for, but I've been making fun of her since I was like, could talk, and she used to try to take us to like shopping, me and my brother, and she couldn't say the name of the department store, which was Montgomery Ward, so she would say Montgomery Ward. That's how she would say it. Montgomery Ward. And that was the beginning of the end.
We used to. I used to shop at Montgomery Ward with my mom.
That's... You go to Montgomery. At least you could say it. I bet your mom could say it.
Yes, well, my mom's a white Republican, you know. Yes.
So if you could say it, if you could shop, you probably had money to shop there. We didn't even have money to shop there. All we had was fish. A lot of it.
We'd like to trade you a carp. For that pantsuit.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what we needed to do. We needed to trade pelts and, it was an intense, very intense immigrant upbringing, which did not prepare me for the high society life that I have now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know anything about high society living that I do, and I can clean a fish, but I can't send a thank you note.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't.
Not my world.
And I always learned from you because I did not know that Montgomery Ward accepted pelts as payment in the 70s. But thank you. Well,
that's why they went under.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that you've embraced the your mom thing because it is your free bird, and so you just embrace the people are like, when's she gonna do her mom?
Yeah, and then just do like a whole show of it because it's also very easy for me to write, and she's very funny also, and so it's an easy kind of a. It's an easy project for me because I just kind of put together all the things that I really enjoyed doing and never actually got this to the stage, you know, things that I would just talk about that she did. It's also just talking about image being an immigrant and then also myself, like when you're in your 40s and you're not actually a mother, what is your identity? What is our identity if we don't have children in this age and era?
Right. But yeah. There is no point to us. That's what I've decided.
Well, I mean, it's not. You sort of become a mother to the world.
Right.
Well, you know, your parent, the world was actually better and much more productive in my point of view, you know, especially in the gay and lesbian community, you parent younger gays and lesbians, and then you kind of teach them that it's all right to be who they are and then, you know, be a good example of an adult. And that's a great thing. You know, that's parenting also. So, you know, people can't ignore that. So those shows up. It's really fun stuff. And then there's a really, an edge to it in that, you know, we can all be mothers of the world.
Yeah. Well, that, as someone said, that used to be the point of being a lesbian is you didn't have to have kids. But now the whole world is just upside down.
Yeah.
Now I mean, they all are, you know, doing it. What's great about that lesbian parenting is that, you know, one can be pregnant for a while, and the other one can be pregnant for a while, and then they trade off, and they both have that experience, and that's, you know, they go to the sperm bank together, and it's a whole thing.
Where
sperm bank catalogs is amazing.
I'm told you can trade pelts for fresh sperm. Are you?
I think
fish.
Well, I think it's a more fish head.
Yeah.
Roly poly fish heads.
Margaret, tell me about the other. Oh, well, first of all, Cho Dependent, the DVD available
That's
now
right.
as well. This show you're doing on the Food Network sounds hilarious. It's called Blind Dinner Party. You host it, right?
Oh, it's very good. Yes, and it's like a blind date with eight people who are going to fight. It's sort of like a fight club, but with food.
Oh, wow.
And then you bring your dish that represents you, and then you sit down, and then these people talk, and they all have very, very opposing views on not just politics, but life. And they're forced to be together for, it takes about 3 or 4 hours, and through that time, it really becomes an amazing experience because you don't have your backup, you don't have your friends with you, you have to kind of talk about yourself and honestly who you are and how that is confronted by other people. It's fascinating. And as I'm a mediator, you know, and I'm sort of an instigator too. And I'm also sort of the host and they all come over. It's fascinating.
Most of us call that Thanksgiving, but,
yes.
You know,
very Thanksgiving.
But you know what? It says that, you know, you're trying to find out if food can become the common denominator among diverse people. What was your conclusion?
Well, I found that the more racist, the better the food. The more, you know, the more problems that person had with other cultures, the better their dish was, and it was an odd thing. So there was some things that were, you could see that there was like, people had really kind of offensive things that I didn't believe in, but they had really good things to eat. And so I kind of couldn't write them off completely, and I enjoyed their food so much that they couldn't discount me either.
Yep.
So that was one of the things that I thought was really profound.
Although Hitler enjoyed raw vegetables and beer. So
yeah.
He was the smelliest dictator.
Margaret Cho.
I like that.
Yeah.
Margaret Cho, Drop Dead Diva Season 4 also premiered on June 3rd. Got a lot going on. Thanks for taking time for us, honey. I know you got a ton of interviews. Thank you, honey.
So much.
Oh dear. Her phone is...
Oh, what hell?
Her phone has gone cattywampus.
Oh, dear.
All right. She's hilarious.
I think David Crosby's been leaving loaded turkey basters lying around. That's all this, why this, all this lesbian
yeah, this rash of lesbian parenting.
Oh,
that's
damn
been...
you, David.
Damn you. What did I sit on? All right. Ed in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, Steph. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Good morning. Good. Go ahead.
I was calling first. Well, I have 2 points to say. First
right.
point is I live in Houston, which obviously means we do not have any kind of liberal radio
of
here.
Of course
okay?
not.
And one of the first guys that I saw, and I thought it was so ironic that there is justice, he was an ultra-right wing guy, and they indicted him for exposing himself to little children. And I'm like, yeah, gotcha, there you go. But my point is that I think President Obama has made a bad mistake by not going to the NAACP convention and sending Biden. And I love Joe Biden. I think he brings the message home like nobody else can bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that President Obama might be sending the wrong message that this group of voters are in the bag for me,
right.
and I
He's
really
taking
don't
it for
have
granted.
To pay attention. And I think that might be a mistake to the voters.
Yeah, I mean, Ed, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I think in this year with super PACs, I mean, the president's time, money, everything is at such a premium. I saw the polling numbers. I hate to say it, but let me just round down for you. President Obama at 90%, Mitt Romney, 7.
Among the African-American community.
Yeah, I mean, so you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, when you have time and you know, a candidate's resources are limited, you know,
I agree with you. I agree with you, but let me ask the question. What is he doing that he doesn't have to come here?
What is he doing? Well, he's campaigning, obviously. I mean, clearly, as usual, this race is going to come down to battleground states if you look at,
and
you know.
And Texas is a loss. I agree with you. Texas is a loss.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. But anyway, I mean, the other thing I'm thinking, I don't know what you think, Chris, but I'm going, because, you know, Fox News would just run that footage 24/7. Look, it's all these black people. He's only the president of the black people. Look at him talking to the black people. The black people are cheering. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Although Bill Press this morning made the point that there is nothing on the president's schedule, which usually means he's taking a trip to some clandestine place.
Oh, to meet with the secret black people that secretly support Mitt Romney?
He may be making a trip overseas or something.
Oh.
Yeah. So he can't do it.
Romney said he thinks he did make inroads with black voters at the speech.
Computer says no.
Not according to them.
No.
But he said, I spoke with a number of African American leaders, even ones that are not in sport, Jim.
Zero is a number.
After the event, and they said a lot of folks just don't want to say they're not going to vote for President Obama.
I thought, well, he's so tall and black, he must be in sport.
I spoke with a number of African-American leaders after the event, and they said, you know, a lot of folks don't want to say they're not going to be voting for Barack Obama, but they're disappointed. At the end of my speech, having a standing ovation was generous and hospitable on the part of the audience, and I believe that while we disagree on some issues like Obamacare, on a lot of issues, people see eye to eye. They want somebody to get the economy going again.
Mm. For example, on sport. We see eye to eye on sport.
They were just
we all
being
like sport.
Nice. They probably were standing up because they couldn't wait to get out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Yikes.
Oh, man, is he boring.
Whoa. You got to get to the parking lot.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. We're being nice, Mittens. Mittens.
Bless his
all
heart.
Right. Bless his heart. 45 minutes
Bless
after the hour.
Heart.
Back with more on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't have to be
Stephanie Miller.
Where are my testicles? Excuse me. All sex is what? 1-800-STEP-1-2.
I can't sing that high.
Phone
Hal can do that. But...
49 minutes. Don't it's like that. Someone it's stepped out of a teacup poodle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Tammy Duckworth running for Congress against Joe Walsh.
Yep.
Ugh. In Illinois at the top of the hour. All right. Let's go to Claire in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Stephanie. I enjoy your show so much I can't even stand it.
Oh, you can't stand it.
I
all right.
I want you with a Bloody Mary in one hand, a cigarette in the other. But that's
perfect.
Rock on, sister.
Love that.
I love that visual. I'm going to have that in my mind.
I'm old and I'm enjoying gracefully going into the night, whatever they say.
There you go. But anyway, with a Bloody Mary in hand.
And a cigarette.
I'm a third husband. I deserve it.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah, I'm old, but I'm getting ready to vote again with a lot of excitement. But in Virginia, they were toying with the idea of the voter ID program and everything. So I called my local representative. I said, look, I've got to redo my driver's license. If I fail it because I'm going blind, you mean I can't vote? He said, no, you can get a provisional ballot, and then they can check it later. So anyway, I went ahead and got it early while I can still see, so I'm good with that. But now in Texas, I understand that they need to, can vote if they have a concealed gun permit.
Yeah, you know what, Claire, you got to stay tuned. We're going to have Ari Berman on. He has a great article in The Nation about this whole thing. I don't think people realize how egregious this voter ID stuff is.
Yeah.
That there are, in some places, a lot of, you know, poor Hispanics, for instance, that don't have cars. You have to drive like 170 miles or something to the nearest DMV. It's not as easy as people think it is.
My point is, they said that if you had a concealed gun permit, you could vote. So why can't all the students and old people and everybody go get a concealed gun permit?
Thank you, Claire. Even with your Bloody Mary in hand, you've figured it out. It's
so
that it's to help Republicans. That's what it's all about.
Anyway, yeah, all right. Just doing the good work.
Thank you.
Enjoy you so much.
Thank you, Claire. I appreciate this. How much do I love the visual of Claire sitting there with her Bloody Mary?
Okay, we get Bloody Marys here in this joint.
Like, with the celery stalk sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Where's that stewardess?
What's that thing about, you know, the point after you go is not to arrive all neatly groomed and sober in heaven. It's to slide in sideways and say, holy, what a ride.
That's right.
With your Bloody Mary in hand. It's going to be Claire. All right. Mitt Romney at the NAACP yesterday.
With 90% of African Americans who typically vote for Democrats, you may wonder, or some may wonder, why a Republican would bother to campaign in the African American community and to address the NAACP.
Well, yes, one would, particularly when your policies are completely at odds with everything they stand for.
He was not talking to the people assembled there in the hall. He was talking to his base and differentiating himself from the people inside that hall.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was using the NAACP.
He thinks black voters are just afraid to tell pollsters their feelings.
That's right.
And it's going to be totally the opposite when the voting actually starts.
Right. You go with that.
Okay.
The opposition charges that I and people in my party are running for office to help the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense. The rich will do just fine whether I'm elected or not.
Mm. Well, they'll do a heck of a lot better if you're elected,
what's
though.
The point of you?
Yes, what's the point of you anyway? Who are you good for?
The rich doesn't need your help.
Yeah, he actually said yesterday, I expect to get the African-American votes.
Computer says no.
Yeah.
What planet is he on?
Kolob.
Okay.
Kolob.
Yes.
Got it. Where, ironically, you can't drink cola.
No. No. Carol in North Carolina. Hi, Carol. Hi, Carol.
Camille?
Yes, hello.
Camille? It's Camille?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you listening to me now?
Yes,
I am.
Okay, this is Camille North Carolina. I have a comment, and I have a great idea, and I want you guys' opinion. If you could do it after I get off the phone.
Okay.
Okay, yesterday Romney thought he would be accepted like his father, you know. I wrote it down so I wouldn't stutter. He thought he would be accepted like his father.
Well, his father marched in the civil rights, you know. His father actually took a stand,
Exactly, from the black community. However, that apple That apple fell off a cliff.
That's funny. Didn't just fall in a different orchard. Off a cliff entirely.
Yep.
Like Toons is the driving. All right, never mind. Let's go to Gene in Minneapolis. Oh, it's the official psychologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we needed it.
Hello, Gene.
Good morning, Steph. And I would like to, first of all, disassociate myself from that whack job, Dr. Keith.
Yes.
I have a question for you all about a theory that a progressive radio host last night was talking about, and I think it ties in with what Chris was just saying, that Romney went to the convention purposely to show his base that he's a racist just like they are.
Yeah.
And people aren't talking about the fact that, unlike his father, he's said and done nothing to combat racism, and he has never distanced himself from what the Book of Mormon says about black people having the mark of Cain and being punished.
Forget that. He actively sought Ted Nugent's, you know, endorsement and says virtually nothing. It says virtually nothing about Donald Trump's crazy birtherism. I mean, you're absolutely right.
That's right. But he's also busy courting his Mormon base among his white racist base. He's especially busy courting his racist Mormon base, and I have Mormon relatives, and I've listened to them talk about Romney, and I can tell you these are scary, scary thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's not to say they're all racist, Gene, but I think your point is that he had to know he was going to get booed if he went in front
of the
NAACP and said he's going to repeal affordable care, right?
And he wants that. He wants that soundbite. He wants that clip showing himself being booed, so he can be a victim. Because Republicans, as much as they like to talk about the culture of victimhood, are the biggest victims that we have in our culture.
Well, and Gene, right on cue, our first soundbite in Right Wing World today was Rush Limbaugh saying they booed him because he's white.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
see,
there
the plans came together.
Yeah.
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 Yep. Exactly.
All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Well, you know, it's just like Glenn Beck saying the president hates white people. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is them playing the race card again.
Exactly. Yeah. And their base believes them.
Yep. Karen in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Mama.
Hello, baby.
First of all, congratulate me. I became a tri-species mother.
Oh, congratulations.
Two bio spawn, four feline, and now one pit bull.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Ow, that had a sting coming out.
The cats?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, good. Pit bulls can be sweet.
This pit bull is, she's so sweet, it's not even funny. She like was abandoned, so she constantly needs to sit in my lap or sit in somebody's lap. She's laying right next to me snoring.
There's nothing funnier than a snoring pit bull. Okay.
Oh,
all right, go ahead, Karen.
She crawls into bed. Okay. Anyway, Keith Abelow, the man, if you read his CV and read his bio, he got into this to be a douche.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, he didn't get into this to help people. He didn't get it, you know, because psychiatry and psychology, I'm a psychology major, is all about helping people. It's about, you know.
That's right.
I mean,
well, if you're doing it right, rather than just taking a Fox paycheck.
Right. Well, I mean, you get into this to help the most fragile amongst us.
Right.
And he didn't. He got into this to be a life coach. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, God.
And it's a Chris and my personal bugaboo. Hi, I'm a life coach.
Life coach. You know, who hires life coaches? People like Romney who can afford
it. I'm just saying, in my personal experience, the biggest losers ever.
You know who hires life coaches? The weak and the vulnerable.
Yeah.
And life coaches, all they do is just take their money.
Given what I know, Chris, you know who would be a perfect life coach?
Who?
Me.
Wow.
58 minutes after the hour, back with Tammy Duckworth next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh huh. Every trip is unique. Whatever you're looking for, we can help you find yours. Expedia, find your journey.
Yes.
Uh-huh. This hour brought to you by Expedia. It is the Stephanie
That's
Miller
Katrina
Show.
That's Katrina in the way, just not journey.
Yeah, right. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Big show coming up. We're very, very excited about this. We've been talking about Jill Walsh, congressman from Illinois, and his comments about Tammy Duckworth. She joins us now. Good morning, Tammy. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm just a huge fan of yours, and we've obviously been talking about this, that this guy just seems to go out of his way to be a jerk. You know, as you pointed out, you never said you were a hero. There's certainly a lot of us that have called you that, and I think with good reason. But talk to us about your reaction to this.
Well, you know, it came right after he cast those really bad votes. He was the only congressman in the entire state to vote against a highway bill. And also, he also voted to let student loan rates double. The only one. Interest rates double. And so, you know, I was trying to talk about that. And then this whole thing blew up because he, you know, is trying to imply that any veteran who talks about their service isn't a hero. And I was just appalled because I've just spent 3 years trying to get veterans to talk about their service so that they can get the help, so that they can get employment, so that, you know, they can make it clear all of the things that they learn in the military that makes them better employees and better students.
Tammy, for people that don't know, you were a Black Hawk helicopter pilot, one of the first women to fly combat missions. Obviously, you lost both legs, part of your right arm. You know, I don't know in whose book that's not a hero, or, you know, that we don't certainly appreciate your service. But I think your point is a larger point. It's well taken. You said, I think it's important this generation of veterans who are coming home who have high levels of unemployment, high levels of post-traumatic stress, high levels of homelessness and suicides, they should talk about their service. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, 18 veterans commit suicide every day in this nation, approximately.
It's outpaced combat deaths, hasn't it, Tammy?
It's outpaced combat deaths, absolutely. Because we know how to keep them safe when they're in combat. We don't know how to keep them safe when they're home by themselves in the depths of depression with no one to talk to. And then for young men and women who have spent their time in the military being told to be mentally tough and physically strong, who are used to being the strong ones, to then be told that if you feel weak, you can't talk about it. Otherwise, people will question your bravery and your heroism. Is only just going to drive them further away from the help that they need. And then, of course,
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and then I'm concerned about, you know, the fact that our young vets coming home today have unemployment levels at twice the level of the national average, and they need to be able to tell employers about all of the kick-ass things they did in the military and why that makes them really amazingly good employees, and now they can't.
Yeah, but Joe Walsh thinks they should just shut the hell up.
You said it's unfortunate he chooses to go down this route. It's typical of his irresponsible way of conducting himself. It's not appropriate for a member of Congress. I mean, I think we've all seen these videos of him, even with constituents, just yelling at them. And, the guy, to me, just does not seem, as you say, it's just not appropriate behavior for a member of Congress. He seems to be making this unnecessarily nasty and personal, doesn't he?
Like to be confrontational and controversial, and it is irresponsible of him as a sitting congressman, and I think frankly the people in the district are tired of it. They want things to happen in Washington, and they want people who will compromise and listen to one another. And you know, the way things have been going in Washington is not the way the people in this district wants this country to be run. And I don't know why he persists in doing this, but he's certainly not serving the people of the district by behaving in this way.
Well, and I think he puts a particularly nasty face on just this obstructionism. I mean, all I can figure is they're just against everything the president's for. I don't know. Is there one thing Joe Walsh can tell us he's done or accomplished while he's been in Congress?
He did get an amendment passed. I mean, his one thing that he's managed to get passed was an amendment to cut funding for police forces in cities that are considered to be sanctuary cities. So he made Chicago less safe.
But Maserati does 185, so he's got that going.
Well, that Joe Walsh is a great guy.
Yeah. And he did a fundraiser for you as well.
I've met him. He did a fundraiser for you, right? The real Joe Walsh for Tammy Duckworth?
The rock legend Joe Walsh. It was such a fun evening. And what people don't know about him is that, you know, he grew up in the, he's a Midwesterner. He grew up in Evanston, Illinois, and in Ohio. And he comes from a working family, and he is really worried about where this nation is going. When we reached out to him, just, you know, we basically cold called him, and he got on the phone with me, and he's like, what is going on in Washington? He's very engaged, and I was just blown away.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, of course, Joe Walsh and the other House Republicans did yesterday, they've now spent 89 hours trying to take away health coverage for 30 million Americans. This is the 31st time they have voted to repeal Affordable Care, which, of course, is not going to happen, while they could be doing actual things, right, for the American people.
Right. Well, it goes back to what you said, Stephanie, about obstructionism. Look, the Affordable Care Act is not perfect. It has a lot of fixes that need to happen, but for the most part, people like the programs that are in it, and you know, the fact that kids are covered and seniors can't lose their insurance, and you know, all of those good things. Well, let's keep the good stuff and let's work on the bad stuff. Let's roll up our sleeves and come together and work on the bad stuff. But holding 33 hearings and 33 votes to try to end the whole thing symbolically because you oppose a president is not helping anyone.
Yep. You know, Representative Earl Blumenauer, our friend from Oregon, he said, you know, something I thought was important. He said the history of major things in this country, like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, is that it takes time to sink in. Social Security was not wildly popular at the time it passed. Medicaid was not adopted by all the states until 1982. The American public, the more they see this, the better they like it, the more support there is. And I think that's true, don't you?
I do think that's true. I think that once people, you know, have their kids with pre-existing conditions covered, they're never going to want that to go away. And when people, you know, have their lifetime caps, that goes away. So that, you know, if you have Crohn's disease or celiac or, you know, any one of these issues, you suddenly don't have caps, and you're not going to want those caps to come back, regardless of who you are and what party you're with.
Yep, absolutely. Let's talk about how cool it is that you're a female Black Hawk helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
it's totally cool. Are you kidding me? I spent, you know, 12, 13 years flying for the Army, and every day that I put on that uniform, I thought, oh, my God, they pay me for this.
Yeah.
How did you come by that interest in the first place?
Well, I was never interested in flying. I wanted to become an Army officer. I wanted to serve. I mean, this is such an amazing nation, and I'm so grateful for, you know, being an American and all of the rights and benefits that I have. And in my family, you know, there's a tradition of service, and I always had one, you know, I wanted to serve. But I chose helicopters because it was the only combat branch for women.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And not that I wanted to go into combat, but I just, when I was being commissioned as a second lieutenant, and we were all cadets, we were sitting around the table, and the instructors came in and said, all right, guys, of the top five choices of what job you want to do, three must be combat. It doesn't matter if you're an accounting major and want to be a finance officer. You're going to put down three combat jobs, and the Army will tell you what it needs, what's in the best of needs of the Army, except for Duckworth. Duckworth's female. She doesn't have to put down any combat jobs.
Wow.
And I just thought, well, you know, and he didn't mean it in a pejorative way, but you know, for me, it was like, I just thought, this is not fair. This is not fair to the guys. So I said, well, what branches that are combat jobs except women? And there were two, aviation and air defense artillery. But the only one that actually had a combat job that women could eventually serve in was being a helicopter pilot. Mm-hmm. So I made that my number one choice and worked hard and got it. And when I got to flight school, all the instructors kept saying, we wish more women would apply for this because they make better natural pilots.
You know,
explain the cyclic and the collective.
The collective make the houses go bigger and smaller, and the cyclic make them come at you faster or slower.
Right.
Jim's a plain nut. Okay. I got to say, Tammy, I've just always been so impressed, though. I mean, you're you know, just the way you have, the injuries you sustain, the attitude you have, and the way you want to continue to serve your country is really been such an inspiration to me. If I can do anything, if I can come there and help you, I will, by the way.
Well, thank you. You know, people can help me in all sorts of ways, but it's really about serving your nation in some way. And I'm lucky to be alive. I'm grateful. And you know, I think I was given a gift when I was blown up. I know that sounds kind of silly. But I really was given a gift when I was blown up when my buddies, who are the real heroes are the ones who carried me out, who saved me, who risked their own lives to come save my life. And I sort of, you know, the gift that I have is that I have that one marker, one beacon in my life that I look back to, and it's what I have to judge every day by. I don't think we always have that in our lives, and for me it's always, what would the guys who saved my life say about what I did today or I didn't do today and how I carried myself, and I don't ever want them to be ashamed. So,
yeah,
you know, well, even if it's sitting in a corner feeling sorry for myself, I'm not going to do that because I want them to know that I am so grateful for every moment
you,
I have.
Right,
now.
You honor their service too, and I have to say that's why to me Joe Walsh is just everything that's wrong with politics today, because, you know, he tried to say, oh, John McCain never talked about his service. Did he sit through the same campaign we did? And by the way, I don't remember anyone our side dishonoring John McCain's service. We always said he is a hero. He deserved to talk about his service just as you do, you know. But I just, you know, it's just another way that I feel like they try to divide us.
Mr. Walsh says a lot of things that are not accurate, and he just repeats them over and over again, yeah, hoping that people will think that they're true. I mean, you know, the fact that he thinks that he tries to tell people that all I do is talk about my military service, when really I've been talking about the fact that he's done nothing in Washington. He's not voted for the highway bill. He wants student loan rates to double. You know, he continues to block the any budget that comes through, and he won't compromise, and yet, You know, and he also wants the tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires to continue.
Yeah. But two plus two does equal five. You're right, Joe.
What was I thinking? Maybe we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, as you probably remember, Tammy, they did this to Max Cleland, who also left several limbs on the battlefield for his country. I mean, it just, you know, when you think there is nothing too low, unfortunately, they surprise you sometimes. But thank you for fighting the good fight in so many ways. And thanks for your time this morning. We're thrilled to be able to get you.
And you can go to TammyDuckworth.com to find out more to donate to the campaign.
Yay!
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. There
all
she
right.
goes. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, she gave me chills.
All
see,
right.
The cyclic is the equivalent of a stick on an airplane to control.
Thank you.
He's such a plane geek.
I know.
Collective is both throttle.
Okay,
the
all day long, he's going to be the telling story about how hard Tammy Duckworth laughed. He's going to be with his lovely wife, Janiqua, later.
See, and then
so
I said.
Okay, so yesterday I said this thing in Mel and Stowe laughed. And today, I said this thing in a plane. All right, you are adorable. What's not adorable about you? Nothing. I do 19 minutes after the member FDIC. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it.
Stephanie Miller.
Get started. Let's get it started.
I understand that original lyric was "Let's get retarded," and that was met with some opposition.
Yes. Well, I know. I wonder why. Weird. Funny that. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why? Lookie's over there. Those blue eyes. It's Cliff Chenfield joins us. What? Okay, fine. He is the CEO of Razor and Thai Entertainment and Kids Bop.
That's right.
Tell us what that is, so I don't have to.
She doesn't have kids, so she doesn't.
No,
it's a music series for kids between the ages of 5 and 12.
Oh, awesome!
And it's very, very successful. So,
yeah. I was with a bike trip last week with a lot of parents, and they were speaking kid. I don't really something blah blah camp.
Well, it's a whole different
SATs,
world.
SATs something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, I don't speak kid, but
you speak dog.
Yeah, exactly. But this is important, especially in an election year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your first thing is this. It's a behind the scenes video of the Romney camp prepping him for his NAACP address.
Yeah. Well, I just to be clear, that's not from Kids Bop. Kids Bop my day job.
Okay.
And we created this new.
This is from The Message.
The Message, which is something we created last month, which was with me and a few other people trying to. Be a little bit provocative and do some video and try to get to some issues that maybe Democrats and progressives haven't been getting to that well.
Right.
So we are making videos that go after issues that the Democrats may be a little bit afraid of. And we're also trying to reach younger people and people who may be a little bit disenfranchised or disengaged right now.
Right.
So the first video we did was a video of Romney and his advisors preparing for the NAACP speech.
Well, let's hear a little skosh of this. The entire thing is up on my Facebook page.
Marvin Lucas. Remember Willie Horton? Marvin invented Willie Horton. Remember the Swift boats?
He built them with his bare hands. He is here to get us through this NAACP thing.
Thanks for the intro, Keith. Governor, it's a real pleasure. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Blacks don't like us, and we're about to give a speech to a whole lot of them. So what we want to do is turn their criticisms into an advantage for us. Now I want you to pretend that you're black. Why is it you don't like the governor? Come on, you. Don't speak to me. Speak to the governor. Pretend you're black. Feel it.
Mormons didn't accept blacks into the priesthood until 1978. You were already in your 30s at that point, and you never spoke out against it, or really even acknowledged it was an issue.
If I might, Governor. Now, this election is about the economy and jobs. It's not an opportunity to bash Governor Romney's religion. All right, you next.
Voter ID laws. Republicans are pushing them through all around the country, and they are routinely attacked as ways to disenfranchise blacks and young people.
Just so we're on the same page here, African Americans and young people vote Democrat. We want to disenfranchise them. Why? So we can win elections.
All right. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so we have the whole thing up, Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
Yep. Stephanie, there's a great punchline coming, though. You missed it.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding.
For God's sakes. Yeah, I mean, it is hilarious, though, that you know, I don't know what you're implying, that sometimes some Democrats don't have spines? What could you be... But it's true. Like, a lot of times, like, we'll sit around and go, this is the ad they should have done, and that's the kind of stuff you're doing, right? Because, you know, they feel like, oh, we have to be polite. We can't be...
I don't even know if it's polite. I think it may be just a political calculation that I don't agree with. It just seems that so much of this is geared to making sure that the person who maybe voted for, Clinton and then voted for Bush and then voted for Obama and maybe is a swing voter in the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio, and is going, you know, everything, things to be geared to those people. And anything that pushes a little bit and might offend that person, they don't want to do. And I'm not, my problem is not that the Democratic Party is not left enough. It's just that we have issues that are very powerful that we don't, you know, work on because we're afraid of offending those people. The Republicans are fire breathers. They go after it. We're sitting here always playing defense. And I think that doesn't work. It doesn't cut through. And younger people just don't get it at all. And then they have an amazing ability to sort of manipulate the dialogue. So all of a sudden, businesses are job creators and estate tax or death tax. And we don't do anything like that. And so as demographics are changing and younger people and people of color and Latin people, the whole thing are now much more democratic. Things are going our way. We should be taking advantage of that and be creative and engaging them.
That last little bit we just played, we're having Ari Berman on next hour because, you know, you're making it, you're satirizing it, but that's exactly what the voter ID stuff is all about in Texas. And I think you cannot speak out loudly enough about it.
And you know, the thing, Stephanie, what's going on is Romney, speaking to the NAACP, we sat around in our message conference room, which is in an undisclosed place.
Yes, of course
and,
it is.
And we said, he's going to speak to these guys in 5 days. We just sat through a Republican primary in which it was amazing how horrible the language was. You have this all this stuff going with the voter stuff, his personal things, and he's about to go in front of the NAACP and try to pull this off, and no one is saying anything,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so. More with Cliff as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
was a shy, awkward child who will fulfill her promise to become a weird, unloved adult.
It's me. Wow, that was eerily accurate. 34 minutes after the hour. Cliff Chenfield.
Chenfeld.
Whatever.
Oh, live in studio.
Don't worry about it.
He has, we just talked about The Message, which is your new one. We played it is up on my Facebook page.
That's right. And the website is themessageis.com.
Yeah, yep. Awesome. Because we were saying that, first of all, let's listen. This is Mitt Romney yesterday at the NAACP.
I'm going to eliminate every non-essential, expensive program I can find. That includes Obamacare. And I'm going to work to reform and save.
Wow. And did you hear what he said afterwards? He said, if people want more free stuff, they should vote for Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went on the scale of racist. How racist was that, would you say?
You know, I agree with the folks who said he just kind of did this to sort of show his folks that he could stand up to all those people.
That's what Felicia in Maryland thinks. Felicia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
My sister from another mother.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a 47-year-old woman with a 5-year-old, so I know who Cliff is, and thank you for your music. I really appreciate it.
Aw, thank you.
My son could drop it like it's hot and don't have to hear the curses.
Well, tell him to enter the contest we're having on Kids Bop for trying to find the best singer under 15 in the country called Kidstar. Sorry, little plug there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I know he will love it because, I went out creeping and then I brought a present home because my oldest son is 25.
Ah.
But Stephanie,
yes.
It's ironic. But I was getting ready to say, this guy, Cliff, said, one, Mormons don't like black people.
Right.
They never like, and you said the quote. That's what I called for, because you see, I gave you a break for months, girl.
There you go.
But I understand. That quote, he said, I'm paraphrasing. He says, if y'all want free stuff from the government, let they vote for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I believe in my heart he is a calculating man.
Yep.
He knew what to do and how to do it.
Yeah, well, we're back to
welfare queens and Cadillacs.
Yeah, there you go, which is a perfect segue to what you're going to do. You were just talking about with Reagan.
Right.
About
well,
what you're going to do. We're
going to do a bunch of videos, and the first one was this NAACP thing. We're going to have a whole series of Romney and his advisors basically plotting to figure out a way of how to distort things, so that was what the NAACP thing was. The next video we're doing is we're taking Reagan down. You know, if you watch the Republican primaries and the debates, I mean, Reagan was basically elevated to something around, Jesus Christ. And they do that they've been doing that for 15 or 20 years for a very calculated reason and a very impressive, very smart strategy. They basically want to turn him into something that is so perfect and important so that they can then cite him as a justification for all the things they're doing. So when they're cutting things or whatever policy they're pursuing, they can say, well, the great Ronald Reagan pursued this. And it's become very pervasive. And so, you see it filtering into the world. Bill Maher had Grover Norquist on, and Norquist went on for about 5 minutes about Reagan, and Maher just sat there. And Jon Stewart does it. Reagan is now becoming this person, and the Republicans want to have that happen. Mm-hmm. And when the debate comes in October, Romney will sit here and go, Reagan, 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 to justify all the bad things he wants to do. The Democrats typically won't go after that because they don't want to offend Reagan Democrats because Reagan is so popular. Mm-hmm. But Reagan really needs to be brought down a bit, not just to correct the historical record, but to have some impact on what's going on in the next 4 months. We have this video which features this rapper named Sol Khan, who's a very popular rapper. Mm-hmm. But he's not rapping. He's very articulate, and he's just talking. And he basically goes through Reagan's presidency in a relatively entertaining and quick way and takes Reagan down from being the greatest president of all time to something closer to...
The main thing that drives me crazy is when you hear people getting in a discussion about trickle-down, and they're like, well, it worked. It's like, no, it didn't.
No.
No, economists pretty much, I think, across the board would say no, it did not.
Unnatural. But if you talk to people who are younger, who kind of came of age in the last 10 years or 5 years, Reagan is really this sort of historical figure who ended the Cold War and did all these great things. He's not the guy who had 100 of his administration officials prosecuted. He's not the guy who tripled the debt and the deficit. He's not the guy who did Iran-Contra. He's not the guy who said ketchup is a vegetable. You know, he's not the guy who tried to eliminate the EPA or the Department of Education.
Right.
He did all, this is the guy who everyone's lionizing. And the Democrats, what they do is they say, well, actually, Reagan wasn't really...
He wasn't that bad.
He was more moderate.
Well,
but that's ineffective.
Yeah, but that point is also true, that he couldn't have gotten through this Republican primary. There is that point that this Republican Party is so far to the right that any of the things he did... How do you have a discussion with Grover Norquist and not talk about him raising taxes 11 times? How does Reagan skate on that?
I agree with you on that, but I think that to the extent the Democrats can say, okay, he wasn't as crazy as you guys are, that's an okay point to make, but I think to make the point that this guy, when he left office, was not perceived as this great president, did a lot of bad things, and at least people should know that so that the Republicans, when they pursue this campaign for the next 4 months, cannot sit here and say, we are just the descendants of the greatest man who ever existed, and you, Mr. Obama, are a socialist descendant of Jimmy Carter.
Right.
You know, you want to try to switch. So I don't, that's why, like, that's the kind of thing I see the message doing, which is trying to correct this stuff, but then we do it not with some...
It's fun to picture him. It's fun to green screen him into this year's Republican primary debate, isn't it? I'm going to give amnesty to 30 million.
Oh, no, I know.
Just, you think the boos were bad at the NAACP yesterday. That's all I'm saying.
But the message is doing it in an entertaining way, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Right, so this rapper, Sol Khan, who made his name by engaging these rap battles on YouTube, kind of like Eminem and 8 Mile. He's got like 30 million views on YouTube.
Wow.
And he's doing this in a way that I think will connect, as opposed to an editorial in the New York Times, which I read, but right. If you're saying that Reagan wasn't so great, you're not going to connect all these people. But this video can get out there and people go,
well,
wait a minute.
I mean, you know, Cliff, I think that's why it's so important what you're doing, because we have this discussion every election cycle, like, is the youth vote going to get out? Are they going to be mobilized? Are they going to be activated? And you're right, I think people don't think enough about how to reach them, because it is just an entirely different culture today with social media and all of that, right?
That's right. And I think I'm not sure the Republicans are doing that well, but they also don't have the numbers on their side.
They're so naturally hip, though.
Yes, they are. They are. They don't have the numbers either.
That's true.
Deb in California, you're on with Cliff. Hey, Deb.
Hey there, sweetie.
Okay. Hello.
There goes the dog. Hi there.
Hi, Deb.
Oh, my God.
The dog's howling because I ran across the room.
Yeah, we can hear that. Okay, go ahead.
So, hi. I was calling because of the Mitt Romney thing. And I was also calling because I want everybody to call their congresspeople.
Yeah.
And start bitching.
Yeah.
Because it's really, about the fact that the Southern strategy works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that they've got these Democrats, these five Democrats are fools.
Well, I mean, Mitt Romney said it. Oh, yeah, I expected that. We expected the boos. I mean, it just, you know, I guess that's the footage they wanted for Fox News, right? And right and on schedule, Rush Limbaugh said, "Oh, you know, he got booed because he's white."
When we put our video up yesterday, everyone said that we were anti-white.
Ah,
I mean, that's the Drudge Report had us for 2 hours on the homepage, and Hannity was talking about us because we were these liberal anti-white people. So we just wanted to mention these basic facts about Romney and the Republicans have been going on for the last 6 months. So. I wear it proudly.
Well-known white supremacist. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, I don't even. You lost me somewhere in there. How? What are you even basing that on?
Because there's one line in the there's one line in the video which it's kind of supposed to be funny satire, and I think the person who's playing the advisors tells Romney how white he is, how he's whiter that he makes he makes pumpernickel look like. Wonder Bread looked like pumpernickel or something, and like you know, everyone said, "Oh my God, they're making fun of white people." And Romney.
Oh, because white people are so downtrodden in America.
Yeah,
historically,
white people.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin in Orange County, you're on with Cliff. Hey, Kev.
Hey there.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about the message. Actually, it leads right to my question. It sounds like a great website for liberals because the problem that we have is that we're good at policy but bad at perception, and Republicans are great at perception but bad at policy. I think the Republicans really have become the party that tries to fix problems that don't exist, whether it's getting rid of Planned Parenthood to fix the budget, or a 0.003% voter fraud that needs to get fixed, or one penny out of every dollar of food stamps that for some reason needs to get fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't forget about securing the border, Kevin.
Oh, there's so many others. I mean, whether it's getting rid of pimps and hookers from Acorn or the new Black Panther Party, which turns out to be three people walking down the street. It's all sorts of things.
Well, we want to listen. The people who I'm doing this with, we are all sort of competitive. We are not, let's all get along type people.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm a competitive person. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I'm a capitalist who believes in opportunity. I want to go and kick their ass a little bit. And I just feel that attitude has not been there enough on our side for
absolutely
the last
20
or 30 years. And by the way, there's lots of people who feel the way we do. Unfortunately, the way it's manifested in the media is this kind of, can't we get along? Let's split the difference. We're liberals, so we have to tie our hands behind our back, and we have to be so. And I'm not going to. We'll be principled.
This is what we always joke about. Drives us crazy about the mainstream media. They're always like, oh, there's two sides to everything, and let's try to be. And there are two sides to facts.
Both sides have a point.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But also,
we'll have to leave it there.
Who's the equivalent of, you know, the Tea Party and the right wing that are controlling the Republican Party? The Democrats have that. Who's that on the left? Is Dennis Kucinich controlling the Democrats?
No.
Did I miss something
right.
here?
Right.
These guys are really impactful, powerful people. And if you say everything is just, well, each side does it all in the same way, it's not true.
No.
Their right wing is enormously powerful and fairly crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't just sort of act that like that didn't happen. You can't say, well, we'll just sort of split the difference. And I'm not saying we should be crazy, but we should be aggressive. We should try to win. We should not be afraid of saying what we think.
Maybe even fighting a little dirty.
Well, how about just fighting with the yeah. tools that are given to
okay.
you know using uh-huh. you know I can't tell you how many wealthy people I've spoken to in New York where I live who have contributed to Democratic campaigns in the past, and they're kind of they've taken a pledge to not give money this year. They don't want to get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
I don't
mm-hmm.
think that Republicans do that.
No.
Right.
They're like ready
right.
to go and run Obama and everyone near him, you know, out of office and back to Kenya.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I mean, look, that's, you know, that's our subject around here is wealthy liberals investing in infrastructure. Like radio, like, you know, I mean, that's the thing is, like, do you get what they've done with right-wing radio and Fox News?
I know.
I mean, it's exactly. Cliff, great stuff. It is up on our website,
yep.
and it is...
TheMessageIs.com.
.com. There you go.
Yes.
Great
Thank
stuff.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate
yeah.
it.
Love what
work.
You're doing.
And good.
Love what you guys are doing.
Congratulations with the kids, whatever that
yeah.
is.
Kids
Bob.
Whatever.
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 How many albums are there now?
A lot. There's a lot.
Okay. Wow. Congratulations.
Right. Congratulations. All right.
Why do you hate
Kenfield.
Capitalism?
Trust me, I know from the Sexy Liberal Tour, liberals that succeeded capitalism drives them crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy on the right, which is what makes it more fun. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You eat men? Is that what that means?
Not anymore, apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not since the early 90s.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, love letter and a hate letter. Dana from Maryland says...
love letter first?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Mama. My sexy liberal mom, Anita, 81 years old. 81 years watching for the first time this morning from Redondo Beach.
Oh.
Hi, Mom.
It's that way.
Hi.
You got to wave that way.
Hi, Anita. Okay. Because normally the first time people stumble upon me does not go well.
No.
For instance, Barbara... I thought, what's the one rule I found, Jim, is whenever a letter starts lady, it doesn't usually end well
no,
for me.
Unless it's from Jerry Lewis.
Hmm.
Or Kenny Rogers.
Lady.
Barbara mm-hmm. writes, subject line, is shut that big mouth before the FCC shuts you up. Lady. Okay, I don't know where you get off thinking that you know everything. You don't know everything. You're so full faux crap. Your eyes are brown. No, green, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. You hate it when people don't agree or kiss your ass. Next thing you'll say is that you know what went on in Vietnam or Iraq or any other war. Lady, you don't have a clue of what it's like in a war. You're nothing but a pinko leftist commie that was abandoned by your mommy and daddy. Go away before it's too late. Bitch. Okay.
Oh.
And he doesn't really understand much about punctuation, apparently.
No, it's a she. Barbara.
She's Barbara.
I was not abandoned. My mom's actually watching now. My 89-year-old Republican mom watches every day.
Hi, Mrs. Miller.
Hi, Mrs. Miller. Abandoned, I beg your pardon. I was abandoned by wolves and then raised by Republicans. Barbara. Okay.
You hightailed it out of Buffalo, though.
Yes, I did. All right. All right. Oh, speaking
not
of Republican
of
women,
Buffalo.
Rocky Mountain Mike and Audra in Minneapolis, they co-created this for us.
They certainly did.
For Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona.
Bone finger. A Harvard guy must think that they are so cool. She passed high school.
Mrs. Corpse. I'm Mrs. Bonefinger.
Wow, 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 wow.
Presidents, beware of a digital. Her fingers cold. She's really that old. Bony at all.
Wow.
Great.
Wow, Audra, belting it out in the basement of Minneapolis. Hello.
That was a good Shirley Bassey impression. That was really good, Audra. Wow.
Ted in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ted.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
We really love your show. It's
Thank
the best 3 hours we can see on TV
Thank
right now. Just to go back to the Mitt Romney at the NAACP, not like it's a surprise, but we had heard that there was planted people in the audience that weren't even members to show more support.
Oh, yeah, I heard that Mitt brought a posse with him.
Yes. The booing was perfect because it's just going to get all the racist supporters fired up because they're going to it's just going to light them up, and I just think it was intentional.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
By the way, Mitt thinks he did really well. The NAACP people, not so much.
No. Yeah, he also thinks he created jobs.
Well, there's that.
Yes. Yeah, he was greeted very warmly, respectfully, and then it was when most things go awry, Jim, when he starts saying things. That's when things...
When he opens his yap.
Went awry, mm-hmm. Yes. The crowd booed, obviously, when he called for the repeal of Obamacare, and when he suggested he would be a better president than Obama for the African-American community. That, I think I heard a couple guffaws. Couple.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, the best thing is someone sent us pictures of the audience. And you just, listen, I've been in front of audiences a long time. You just know the looks on the face. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Just.
The Springfield, springtime for Hitler looks.
Yes. Yeah.
Springtime for Romney.
I think Progress was there on the scene. They talked to some NAACP members after some actual ones after
right.
the speech. James Waters said some of Romney's comments were patronizing. Oh, not compared to what he said afterwards about you wanting free stuff. While Joe Brown argued Romney made a serious misjudgment relating to the health care reform, Alitra Perryman went even further. I don't think he has any way to remotely relate to everyday citizens, let alone African-American citizens.
Right.
Don't you think? The NAACP said, you know, they appreciated him coming. He said, unfortunately, his agenda is at odds with what the NAACP stands for, whether the issue is equal access to affordable health care, reforming our education system, or the path forward on marriage equality. But that's not what Mitten said the secret blacks told him. The secret blacks that are secretly for him and secretly apparently hate President Obama and are just afraid to tell pollsters that.
I spoke with a number of African-American leaders after the event, and they said, you know, a lot of folks don't want to say they're not going to be voting for Barack Obama, but they're disappointed. At the end of my speech, having a standing ovation was generous and hospitable on
yes,
the part of the audience. And I believe that while we disagree on some issues like Obamacare, on a lot of issues, people see eye to eye. They want somebody to get the economy going again.
Uh-huh. Who are these people? Name them.
The secret Name ninja blacks. Yes.
Okay. They're the blacks right here in my pocket.
They're in my fillings.
All right. Mitt Romney yesterday at the NAACP.
The president wants to make this campaign about blaming the rich, and I want to make this a campaign about helping the middle class in America.
Oh, sure you do.
Sure you do.
Chopping
oh,
applause.
Well, how about this? Romney has touted his tax plan is good for the middle class with tax cuts for everyone. But while millionaires would indeed get a giant tax cut worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, more than 2 million African-American working-class families would lose their current tax credits for children and earned income.
Hmm.
Just FYI. GT Gay.
By help, he means help them to disappear off the face of the earth.
Yes. they would have become secret blacks because... Right. There you go. All right. So more with the what happened on the floor with the health care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
31st time. They voted to repeal health care yesterday. Yep. And Ari Berman of The Nation as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and it's time to feel good. Hey, all right now, and it's time to feel good. Oh, you know, it's bad news. We're just back from vacation and already bickering.
I know.
I have grown tired of you.
Oh, shut up.
I'm tired of you.
You
shut up.
You pipe down over there.
All right. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, the whole bickering family.
That's
executive
right.
Producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. We've been talking about this all morning because Ari Berman is just is so good on this stuff. You got to... You know, you can't let it dispirit you, but you have to, like, know what the problem is and identify it. He has a great new piece on the Texas voter ID law.
Yeah.
And other voting rights news. Ari joins us now. Hello, Ari.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
I'm good. I just feel like getting under the blanket and turning my flashlight on while you tell me
it's
scary.
It's the depression segment.
Exactly.
The depression segment. Yeah. Well, you know, again, you break it down so well. You say this week the state of Texas will try to persuade its federal court in Washington to uphold its voter ID law. You say the facts are not on Texas's side. So this is good news, at least, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's good news if indeed the federal court in Texas, in Washington, rules against Texas. It's obviously bad news if Texas gets away with it. But I mean, Texas has a number of problems. The burden is on them to prove that their law does not violate the Voting Rights Act. So they have to actually show that. And I don't think they're going to be able to show that because, number one, 1.4 million registered voters in Texas don't have ID and they're disproportionately black and Hispanic. And number two, getting access to that ID in Texas is very difficult because only 81 of 254 counties in Texas even have a DMV.
Well,
and counties in Texas can be huge.
That, right. I was just going to say.
Very long. So if someone doesn't have ID and there's no public transportation, how are they even supposed to get to a DMV to be able to get that ID? So there's a number of problems, not just with the voter ID law itself, but Texas's utter lack of preparation in terms of preparing for a law that they knew was going to be challenged by the Department of Justice because they have to get clearance from Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act to be able to put this into effect.
Well, that's right. And, Ari, I think, you know, I saw just a clip yesterday on TV of Mitt Romney going, oh, well, you know, you can get an ID just anywhere. People try, and you break it down, as you just said, so clearly. There are DMV offices, as you said, in only 81 of the state's 254 counties. As you just said, you got to think about how big Texas is, number one. Not surprisingly, counties with a significant Hispanic population are less likely to have a DMV office. Hispanics in Texas almost twice as likely as whites to not have a car. So as you break down, some voters in one district there would have to travel up to 176 miles round trip in order to reach a driver's license office with no car, presumably, you know, working and maybe raising kids, right?
Yeah, and you have to realize this is part of a broader trend by the state of Texas to try to dilute the minority vote, which is growing rapidly in the state. Whites are now a minority in Texas, and Republicans are almost synonymous with the conservative white vote in the state. So they see this large Hispanic growth and also significant growth from African Americans as well. And instead of trying to court those voters, they're basically trying to suppress their votes, not only through voter ID laws, but also their redistricting map, which has been blocked by the Department of Justice. They drew the districts in such a way that despite massive Hispanic and African American population growth, white Republicans actually have more seats under the new map than they did under the previous map, even though 80% of population growth came from people of color. So this is really just such a brazen attempt by Texas Republicans to try to shape the electorate of the state in their own favor in spite of all the demographic changes in the state.
Well, that's right. It's, as you just said, it's almost like they're giving up on trying to address any of the issues that might, you know, allow you know, want those have those groups want to vote for you. Other, you know, it seems this is their only plan is just to suppress the vote. And as you were saying, this redistricting, this they could retain a huge political majority for the next decade.
Well, obviously, the state of Texas, you know, isn't too concerned with those populations. I mean, look at what Rick Perry's doing, denying Medicaid to 6 million uninsured Texans. I mean, that also is going to be disproportionately people of color, lower income residents, and large segments of the Black and Hispanic community down there. So, I mean, I think Texas, to me, it is a model for Republicans, a scary model, but I think Republicans all across the country are looking at Texas and they're saying, oh my God, our electorate's changing. What are we going to do? And Texas has basically said, well, we're just going to try to make it harder for them to vote. And that's how we'll retain a majority. And that's really what Republicans have done in state after state after state since the 2010 election is made it harder for their political opponents to be able to vote in this election and in subsequent elections.
Well, and, you know, Ari, you point out some, you know, really, I think, interesting specifics. A lot of people, again, you know, that have money go, oh, I don't understand. They don't understand that they're, I mean, this woman at this fundraiser for Romney in the Hamptons, she was almost describing a poll tax, yeah. Wasn't she? She was like, oh, these nail workers and young, they don't really, low-income people don't really understand. Literally, she was close to saying, like, why should they be allowed to vote, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as you point out here, the least expensive option, if you know, that you don't have documents is to spend $22 on a copy of the voter's birth certificate, which, again, doesn't matter exactly the price. It is still a poll tax, and mm-hmm. so many people in this economy, you don't understand, that money to some people is the money for food for that day for their family, right?
Well, and this is the same arguments that were made by Dixiecrats and other conservatives in the pre-civil rights era, in the Jim Crow era, which is that these people aren't civilized enough to vote. We can't trust them with democracy. Voting is a privilege, not a right. I'm shocked that we're still hearing the same arguments being made today. I mean, it's absolutely shocking to me. It's like with this entire period of our history when the United States just absolutely disenfranchised large segments of the population like it didn't exist. And so a lot of the same hurdles are coming up today. You look at a state like Mississippi where there's also a voter ID law. Well, to get that ID, you need underlying documentation, which requires an ID. So, I mean, it is a catch-22. It is, in some ways, a 21st century equivalent of making people count the number of jelly beans in a jar.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is what's going on here.
Ari, I just traveled overseas last week, and it was interesting. The last time I'd gone, I realized I'd lost my passport. I also didn't have my birth certificate. And, you know, I'm someone that has means. I mean, I was able to get to do an expedited passport and all of this, but, you know, you realize what it would take for an average person. It was expensive to get it. I mean, you know, having all of these steps, like you're saying, you have to take to get stuff. It's not as easy as people try to make it.
No, I mean, it is difficult. And the question is, how many people are just going to say, the hell with it? I'm not going to bother. You know, it's too complicated. My ID is expired, or I don't want to go through all the hassle of getting a birth certificate, or I don't want to pay to get a passport. I don't have time to go down to the DMV and wait in line for 3 hours. I don't have the time to take three buses to a different county just to get an ID. People are just going to say, screw it.
Well,
and we cannot quantify the number of people that might be in the next election. And that's what really worries me. It's not so much that people can't comply with these laws. It's that they just will decide it's too much difficulty to do
so. It's designed to be. It is extra hoops to be able to have to jump through to be able to vote. Somebody pointed out that called earlier, the same thing you did, that, for example, in Texas, a handgun permit is considered an acceptable form of ID, but not a university ID.
That's amazing.
The only way to read that is they're trying to dilute the Democratic-leaning youth and minority vote.
Right.
Well, you have to assume that gun owners in Texas are going to be more conservative than students. I mean, I think that's a reasonable assumption to make. And, you know, it's not only Texas. A number of other states have made it so that you can't use a student ID either. And this, again, is another shot at Barack Obama's coalition, because the people that have the hardest time complying with these laws, other than the elderly, are Hispanics, African Americans, and young voters. And those last three groups are the core of the Obama coalition in 2008 and will be, once again, the core of the Obama coalition in 2012, along with women, particularly unmarried women.
And Ari, you know, as we've, you know, had this discussion more broadly over the years, like, you know, has there been unprecedented sort of backlash or racism against having the first African-American president? Is one of the things you note in here is there's been more challenges to the Voting Rights Act in the past 2 years than the previous 45 combined. I mean, that right there should tell us something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of goes hand in hand, right? Passing the laws and then trying to gut the Voting Rights Act, which is really the only mechanism the Department of Justice has to then block the laws. And so the long-term goal of the Republican Party is to be able to overturn the key sections of the Voting Rights Act, because that will then open the floodgates to all sorts of new discriminatory voting laws. It'll sort of be like the Citizens United decision for voting rights. If Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act is ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, that will be the equivalent of what happened with Citizens United, because the Department of Justice won't have the authority to make states approve their voting laws. They will then have to prove after the effect, after the fact, that these laws discriminate against voters. And it's very difficult because they'll lose their most important deterrent and enforcement mechanism. So the GOP is playing two games. They're playing the short game of passing all these laws, and then they're playing the long game of trying to overturn the Voting Rights Act in court, which is honestly what the Dixiecrats in 1965 would have wanted all along.
Well, I mean, and you know, as you sum it up again, Texas in many ways emblematic of how conservatives are responding to an increasingly diverse electorate by passing laws that dilute minority voting rights. You know, instead of, say, under Bill Clinton, we used to always say, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. Instead of, you know, figuring out how to come up with policies that appeal to everybody, you're right. This seems to be their only, you know, seems to be their only mechanism is to try to suppress that vote. But I have to hope that, you know, what's this line I always screw up about the arc of justice is long, but, you know, it always, or, you know, the arc of history is long, but always bends toward justice. Do you have confidence in that?
Well, I am seeing a lot more public attention to this issue. I am seeing a lot more concern about the issue. I'm seeing a significant pushback to these laws now that didn't exist a year ago. For example, Rick Scott's voter purge in Florida completely backfired on him. You saw Michigan GOP governor veto new voting restrictions. That was the first time since 2010 a Republican governor has vetoed one of these laws. And I have to believe that Rick Snyder in Michigan saw what was happening to Rick Scott in Florida, saw the problems the Department of Justice, saw the problem that states like Texas, South Carolina, and Florida had gotten into with the Department of Justice, and just thought to himself, you know, I don't want to be in one of these situations so close to an election where I have to deal with this issue. Now, other Republican governors will believe they have no choice. This is the only way they can win. As the Pennsylvania House GOP leader said about their voter ID law, this is what's going to allow Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. So for some people, this will be at all costs. We have to get these laws in to ensure that Republicans win the next election. But I think other more reasonable Republican governors, and I also think just politicians across the map, are going to see now, if we pass one of these laws, we're not going to be able to do it at the last minute with no one noticing, that people are actually paying attention to this issue in a way that they weren't paying attention to it a year ago when I was sort of first starting to report on this story.
It's all because of one man, Ari Berman.
That's right. Well,
no, that's
only one man can stop this now.
Clearly it was all me.
All right. Ari Berman, great stuff at The Nation as usual. Thanks so much, Ari. Talk to you again real
soon. Thanks a lot. I appreciate
all
it.
All right. There he goes.
One man. In a perfect world. In a perfect voting world.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Speaking of which.
What?
I had a mammogram yesterday. I have a new future wife. I'll tell you about it when we come back. 20 minutes after.
Really?
Hour.
Oh, really?
Right back.
Is this a real mammogram?
It's not an amateur one. Right back.
It's not a euphemism.
Oh, feels all right to me.
Is that what the kids are calling it? Got a testogram for you, Mr. Ward. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Here I go again. My, how can I resist you?
Stephanie Miller.
Now I really know. My, I could never let you go.
I don't understand what I'm singing.
Yeah, they just kind of sang sounds.
I'm singing phonetically.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the words mean.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ooh, Chris, thank God for the creative input of the guy that owns this show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. What would we do without his news flashes?
Right.
Frequently sends us news that's 2 to 3 days old.
Yep.
Did you want to hear what he just wrote?
Mm.
Could we please get rid of the dirty plate? It doesn't look good on camera.
And it was in all caps.
Yeah.
So he looked angry.
And I did. It's right here.
Yeah.
That was yours, Jim.
Ah.
I did your house cleaning as I normally do. as the skirt on the show.
You're the one but who leaves boxes
you know
of
what,
food
though?
Lying around.
I do the house cleaning after you just skedaddle right out of here, so okay. I don't want to hear it.
Chris in Pennsylvania just found us. Hello, uh-oh. Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to let you know my husband just introduced me to your show today, and I love you guys.
Aww.
The lady that emailed you that you're nuts or whatever,
yes.
Poo-poo her.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add my two cents about Mitt Romney
okay.
and his focus on creating jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What he fails to finish his sentence is that those jobs are in places like India and China
yep.
and Mexico.
Yep, yep, absolutely, absolutely. All right, thank you, Chris.
Well, you're very welcome.
Aww.
Thank you.
All right. It usually does not end well when someone first finds
no.
me. I'm a bit of a human oddity.
Yeah.
All right, here is Mittens talking about two of the NAACP yesterday.
The three-quarters of them said that made them less likely to hire people.
Oh, please.
So I say again, if our priority is jobs, and that's my priority, that's something I'd change.
He was talking about Obama, Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
I was talking to some people who said they would not hire. What?
There's a guy I know who said that he might hire somebody if only Obama would go away.
Some of my friends said they'd own several less NASCAR teams if Affordable Care. Rick in North Carolina. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. I'm really happy to get on. I've been listening to you for years. I started in the South Bay of L.A.
Wow.
And I was calling to ask if I could be your official last liberal Republican Episcopal priest.
Wow.
Her.
All
yeah.
right, then.
Okay.
That just opened up this morning.
Yeah, well, you know, I why am I calling this morning?
No, no. I said no. Oh. That opening just opened this morning.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I used to listen to Focus on the Family as I was going to work.
Uh-huh.
And one day I just got so fed up with the political agenda that I just couldn't agree with that I started flipping the dial, and there you were. It was like salvation. So I wanted to thank you for being on the air, and I've always wanted to call in, and I thought I should have an excuse. So I wanted to let you know that my family and I are a Nielsen family.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We can't talk about that.
Oops. Something happened. There's
yeah.
a
don't button.
I can't. Okay, well, that's
I was going to ask him
great.
If he
no, we can't.
Works at St.
No.
Francis okay. Episcopal Church. In
moving
there.
Right along. Mitt Romney yesterday at the NAACP.
Many, many years ago.
Today, black children are 17% of students nationwide, but they are 42% of the students in our worst performing schools. Candidates can't have it both ways. Talking up education reform while indulging the same groups that are blocking reform.
Excuse me, let's just take one thing. Student loan rates, it's Republicans that are blocking
yes.
this.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Student loan rates doubling, just for one latest example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 29 minutes after yeah. the hour, a little more crunchy audio goodness from the Mitt Romney NAACP speech, and then the complete waste of time that was the repeal of the health care bill
yesterday. And waste of money, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, don't you talk to her like that.
Stephanie Miller.
It's as cool as the other side of the pillow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Friday in Alaska.
You're that is the coolest name ever.
Right? Right? Hello, Friday. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Friday. Oh, see.
No relation to,
too good to be true.
Wednesday, Adams.
Wednesday, yeah.
We had our girl Friday. Okay.
We did.
All right, fine. Adrian in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Adrian.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Blessings. Listen, I was listening to you guys earlier. You guys were talking about Mitt Romney
yes.
with his NAACP stuff. I'm a black dude. I live in Pennsylvania. I live in Lebanon. It's a small, like, farming town, kind of.
Hello, black dude in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm a rare one. But the thing is that out here, the attitude of the people has always been the same. It's not the racism out here is not even hidden. It's out in the open. Mm-hmm. And to see it now on the media and, like, the way the Republicans get behind it is a really scary thing because as a black man and seeing the disenfranchisement of the voters, I recently moved to Pennsylvania after living in New York for a few years. So this racism was kind of, it's really blatant, so it was, like, kind of a shock.
Right.
And there are a lot of people out here who don't have, like, they say, oh, it's just $20. Like, man, that's like 4 gallons of milk, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Is, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. I mean, and you know what? And that doesn't even matter what the exact amount is. It's a poll tax. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I love this story. The RNC is firing back. Michael Steele.
Yeah.
Said that the party's been slacking in its outreach to black voters. Do you think?
They've been slacking for about 200 years.
Yeah. Former RNC chair Michael Steele said.
Whatever. Yes.
The party's efforts to expand the party's reach now consist solely of a website with black faces on it. Even that
so
website,
true.
As it turns out, doesn't exist. I love this. Oh, excuse me. I love this story. It magically. Reince Priebus?
Reince Priebus!
Thank you. Under the RNC, at the RNC promised a new web-based outreach program for black voters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one could only hope it would be as successful as that. Remember the calendar trumpeting the Republican civil rights victories over the years?
Sure.
I don't know what happened to that either. Mm. Anyway, there was supposed to be a website. It was supposed to feature 210 GOP people like Alan West and Tim Scott. The two black guys.
Right, the two of them.
It cannot be readily found on the GOP's current webpage, however, and the RNC did not immediately respond to a request for a link. An official told us that the RNC doesn't currently have an African-American outreach site, raising the specter that the site previously envisioned either never came to fruition or has since been taken down. Maybe Ellen West said a couple of crazy things, and then that was the end of the RNC black outreach website. The RNC spokesman said the party isn't so much focused on outreach as it is dedicated to electing Romney, which right away is for black people because...
That's...
What? I don't... Okay. Meanwhile, did I tell you the numbers? I'm just going to round down.
Okay.
Obama leading Romney among African-American voters 90% to 7.
Wow.
7%.
That's...
Except for, which does not count the secret blacks that all,
right,
according to Mitt Romney, support
the invisible
him.
Blacks.
Here is Mittens yesterday.
I submit to you this. If you want a president who will make things better in the African-American community, you are looking at him.
Really?
You take a look.
You take a look.
They did. If you saw any of the pictures, seriously, the face is hysterical.
Yeah.
Watching
Spring
him just...
time for Hitler and Germany.
Brian in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hello, everybody. It's Brian in Cerritos.
Oh, well, right then.
Okay, then. Hello, Cerritos.
Hey, Stephanie, I touched your board the other day.
Excuse me?
What? You were here?
What? Yeah, I was in your studio with another radio program.
Oh, wow,
you
slut.
Yeah, it was fun.
Slut. Look at you, slut. All right, go ahead.
One of my readers, I published a newspaper here in Cerritos, and one of my readers ran an idea by me. Can the government send out voter ID cards without going to Congress?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I emailed Linda Sanchez on that, Congresswoman Sanchez. I haven't got an answer back. But
interesting question.
I think some more to get out about
that.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I'm sure they're obviously thinking of ways to combat this voter suppression going on in Texas and elsewhere. Okay.
You just did it again. The lateral list.
That's a Sarah Palin story. That's why.
Okay.
Sarah Palin warned Tuesday that Mitt Romney must do more to energize conservatives before Election Day, saying the Republican candidate should light the base's hair on fire. Also, too, in addition. She said, Romney, he said before he doesn't want to have to light his hair on fire. Well, there are a lot of his base supporters and independents who are saying, well, light our hair on fire then. Why does anyone listen to take advice from her?
She just lost
in a landslide. Don't really understand.
She really doesn't know anything about winning.
Remind us how important it is that we get engaged in this presidential election because it is the election of our lifetime. No, actually making sure that you never got anywhere close to the Oval Office was the election of our lifetime.
Boy, we dodged that bullet. Oof.
She suggested that Romney will want to play it safe by picking someone for VP who is more of a known commodity than she was in 2008. Mm. Quote, so the media doesn't do what the media did to me, making things up and kind of thrashing somebody's reputation and record in order to distract from what the election. No, you did that yourself. You did that. You just talked. That's what you did.
You opened your giant pie hole. That's what you did, Sarah Palin.
Also, too, you betcha.
She would have quit by now anyway, didn't she?
Well, yeah, judging from her record, absolutely.
By the way, the latest on this, where is this, from the Mr. Romney's financial black hole, some good stuff about this, all the stuff he's hiding.
Yeah.
Since the Watergate era, presidential candidates have released several years of tax returns, allowing voters to peer at their financial choices and discern their entanglements.
But not Mitt.
No. Only one. 2010 tax return that he did release showed a blind trust held by his wife, Anne, included a $3 million Swiss bank account that had not been properly reported on previous financial disclosures. What's that? More fun facts? Well, yes,
okay.
Recent articles by the Associated Press and Vanity Fair focused on a Bermuda account that Mr. Romney transferred to his wife's blind trust the day before he was inaugurated as governor of Massachusetts.
How about that?
The account had not been properly disclosed to voters until January. Well, that seems fishy already.
Yeah.
Mr. Romney has also not fully explained the nature of his separation agreement with Bain, which he left in 1999, according to him.
Yeah.
Last month, his trust reported receiving $2 million payment from Bain as part of unpaid earnings from his work there. Of the 138 Bain funds organized in the Cayman Islands, Mr. Romney has interest in 12, worth up to $30 million, according to Vanity Fair.
Huh.
Though the Romney camp has often distanced itself from Bain's recent corporate takeover work, voters have no way of knowing how much he's received from Bain. Since he left, or how much is coming, firms like Bain park money in the Caymans because the islands have no taxes on capital gains, profits, or income for foreigners. But just because it's legal doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Thank you.
Well, of course, if he released 12 years of tax information like that guy George Romney did.
Yes.
Then
the campaign says Mr. Romney has received no tax benefits from his offshore shelters. Right. A dubious assertion, but one impossible to check without more disclosure. Well, that's exactly why he's not disclosing.
Yeah.
Because you can say stuff like that, and we go, okay.
Okay.
Herp derp.
Herp derp.
He must know more than we do, then. Okay. I guess you just put it there because it's sunny.
Okay. Doy.
Yeah.
That probably flew with Kathy Durr, Tea Party patriot. Please and thank you.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodleback.
Right. Okay. All right. What are the Republicans in Congress doing for you? Here's what they're doing. They just spend 89 hours trying to take away your health care coverage for 30 million Americans. In a vote of 244 to 185 yesterday, the House of Representatives repealed Affordable Care again. Yes, the 31st time. Yep. They have now spent, I'm sorry. I misspoke. 88 hours and 53 minutes. According to congressional record, trying to undo the reform. Prior to Wednesday's repeal vote, by the way, Democrats introduced an amendment that would have forced members of Congress to forego the same health care that they were seeking to eliminate for constituents.
Yeah, and no, they didn't go for that. No can do.
It's the I'm a Big Fat Hypocrite Amendment. No, didn't go for that one. Okay. Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat of Connecticut, yesterday.
Repealing the Affordable Care Act is wrong. It was wrong the first time. It is wrong the 31st time. Welcome to Groundhog Day in the House of Representatives.
I love Rosa DeLauro. Oh, my God.
All right. By the way, Nancy Pelosi has been right about just about everything this far. She said the law is alive and well. It has a big future. I knew it would pass. I knew it would be upheld, and I know it will survive. Neener.
Neener, neener, neener.
The politics be damned. We came to do a job. We think we're very proud of what we did. Of course, we were thrilled with the judgment of the court, the decision handed down by the court. And I think the election will be about jobs. This bill creates 4 million jobs.
And, of course, the Boner, John Boner, yesterday.
Who still support repealing this harmful health care law, we're giving our colleagues in the Senate another chance to heed the will of the American people.
Shut up.
And for those who did not support repeal the last time, it's a chance for our colleagues to reconsider.
It's not the will of the American people, you dope.
Boy,
oh
boy.
Our people want to die in pre-existing conditions.
Nancy Pelosi, by the way, predicted the 14-point swing in the law's favor since April, according to the Washington Post ABC survey, will continue as people see this is without the fog of misrepresentations, flat-out mischaracterizations of what the bill is. And I was mentioning this earlier. They were comparing it to Social Security and Medicare. That back in the day, although those won some Republican votes at the time, the nature of the conservative opposition was remarkably similar with warning about a tyrannical government threatening freedom. Who said, Jim, in fact, this was an ad in the 1960s with the American Medical Association, who said if Medicare would have passed, you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children that what it was once like in America when men were free.
Lyndon Baines Johnson.
No, it's a bad guess. That was Ronald Reagan. Remember that scaly commercial?
Yeah,
it was
scaly.
Representative Jim McDermott, our favorite Chuckley congressman?
Yes.
I did not realize he's also a physician. He's the only physician in the Democratic conference. Hmm. He said if you look at Medicare, I was in medical school in 1963, just before it was passed. The AMA said over and over again, this is the end of medicine in this country. It's socialism. Oh, it's communism. It's terrible, but it went through.
Wow.
How
did I not get that memo that he was a physician?
I did not get the memo.
Oh, dear. Okay.
It's just a hobby.
In 1935, speaking of history, where's my high school educational film strip music?
Right.
In 1935, thank you.
23 Skidoo.
Republican Representative John Tabor said of the Social Security Act, yeah, but it's interesting to read. It's history. Never in the history of the world has any measure been brought here so insidiously designed as to prevent business recovery, to enslave workers, and to prevent any possibility of the employers providing work for the people. Wow, they were always...
And furthermore, that fellow Hitler is a very nice guy. I like his mustache.
I like the cut of his jib.
Wow, they were always drama queens.
Yeah, well,
I think Joppers and Jack Boots is a wonderful look. I'm going to take it up myself.
All right. Jim McDermott said, will it be fought? Sure, it'll be fought. In a democracy, nothing is ever done. It's an evolutionary process that is never finished. What we're trying to do right now is move forward. There'll be forces that want to push us back, so we'll keep moving forward. It's never a straight line. It's never fast, but it never stops moving forward. That's the process we're in right now. We're moving backwards, but the people aren't going to stand for that very long. Reverend Dr. Jim McDermott. Damn it, Jim. He's a doctor. Why didn't
damn
you tell
it,
me?
Jim. Why didn't I tell you? I'm the producer.
Yeah, right?
I should produce.
Doctor, not a congressman. Dope. Oh, 46 dear. Minutes after the hour, back with the Celebrity Stack and the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. I'm not a doctor, but I think I'm dying of laughter. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Why would you do that?
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right, I don't know who sent me an e-card, but this is so me. Sorry, I'd rather stay home and nurse an unhealthy level attachment to my dog than socialize with people. That's me. Dogs, in my case. All right. Rick in North Carolina real quick. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Thanks for letting me back on.
Yes.
I apologize for a previous comment there. But at any rate, I just wanted to call and tell you why we love Obamacare here and why we think Romney's really blowing it by saying he's got to revoke it. My little girl, and I probably shouldn't call her my little girl. She probably might object to that designation. She's 24. But literally, she would be dead or dying now if it weren't for Obamacare, because she was found with a very rare and virulent form of breast cancer. And because she could be on our insurance while she's working on her master's right now, she was able to get really top-drawer care and surgery, and she's now headed for a complete recovery.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I got to tell you, we thank God every day here, and we thank God for President Obama every day here.
Rick, thank you for that. Those are the kind of stories that you hear over and over again. It's real people that are having.
Is it really worth having socialism in this country?
Yes. Sure. Okay. All right. Yeah. All the screaming, all the drama about taxes. I wanted to point this out. Our friends at Think Progress. This is the latest data from the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan. Okay. Tax rates under Obama hit a 30-year low in 2009. In part because of the tax cuts he implemented in response to the country's economic downturn. During his first year in office, the average tax rate paid by all households fell to 17.4%, down from 19.9% in 2007. The 2009 rate significantly lower than the previous low.
That darn tax and spend liberal.
Of 19.4% in 2003 and well below the 30-year average of 21%. That's what all the screaming's about. Now Obama is proposing to raise tax rates on incomes in excess of $250,000, which would still keep tax rates for the rich below where they were under the Clinton administration, ladies and gentlemen, which, that's, again, roll the screen out.
Well, we had a big surplus during the Clinton administration,
which
W couldn't wait to spend.
All right. Hey, Jim, this is exciting news, and particularly for Squeezy. There's a lesbian super PAC.
Yes. Hello.
LPAC.
Yeah. Wow. LPAC. Are you going to join?
The LPAC.
Sure not. It just sounds dirty. A group of high-powered lesbians. Oh, no, I'm just low-power, so I probably can't.
No, that low-wattage kind of lesbian.
I only come with a low speed.
Yeah.
They launched a first-of-its-kind super PAC to advocate for LGBT and women's rights. They hope to raise $1 million to support $1 million to support candidates who champion equal rights.
$1 million
for women and LGBT people. Group already, Jane Lynch, our buddy, our pal, Billie Jean King, already, and oh, you know who thought of it? Chicago Cubs co-owner Laura Ricketts helped launch the organization after noticing lesbians were in the minority at most LGBT political events.
I did not know she was
a
lesbian.
Which I can confirm. It's always all the boys. All the boys were at those events. The one I went to honoring Chris Matthews?
Yep.
Remember, he was like, are you gay? I'm like, yes.
I got a tingle on my leg.
Is everyone here gay? Yes. We're at a gay event.
Is everybody gay?
What, yes, the baseball Chris? Cap and flannel shirt didn't tip you off, Chris?
I don't wear flannel shirts. I'm not that kind of lesbian. All right.
You're the lipstick variety.
Yes. All right. Oh, my goodness. By the way, we have to send love and thoughts and prayers out to our friend of the show, Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah.
She was injured on the set of The Good Wife. Some scaffolding hit her in the head, and she's in the hospital. It looks, you know, like it was... She got hit square in the head, so anyway...
And then it knocked her over, and she hit her head again on the concrete, so...
Yeah, they took her away in a neck brace, so we are sending thoughts and prayers. All right. Can I have my Mission Impossible music?
Sure.
How badass is Katie Holmes? I swear to God, she ripped off.
The more I read about her, the more
fantastic.
I love her.
She ripped off like a storyline from one of the Mission Impossible movies. I think she dropped down on the compound in one of those invisible strings like this so as not to set off the Scientology sensors. And then she used a disposable cell phone.
And she had the help of her high-powered lawyer father.
Yes. And you know who is her confidant right now?
Who?
Nicole Kidman.
No way!
Yes.
Oh, that's too good.
I know.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall.
Here's another thing about Tom.
Did they invite Mimi Kennedy? Or Mimi, what's her name? Yeah.
Rogers.
Rogers.
No, Mimi Rogers is still a Scientologist, I believe.
Oh,
come
on.
I think she left.
Oh, did she leave?
They got to recruit her. Okay. They got to do, like, Tom Cruise First Wives Club, something.
Oh, God.
No.
He's not bouncing on the couch now, I don't think.
I bet she's thrilled with the news that she's in contact with Nicole Kidman. Yikes. She used a disposable cell phone provided by a friend to contact attorneys.
So brilliant.
She hired three law firms in three different states, making it even more apparent that Tom Cruise was blindsided by the divorce.
That's amazing.
I'm guessing he was jumping on the couch yelling.
No. Ow.
He hit the ceiling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen claims he can see dead people.
He probably sees a lot of things.
You see a lot of things on certain substances. He said, when my friend Zalman King died, I went to comfort his widow. We were making toast, and I saw Zalman, who'd been dead for 4 hours, dance through the background.
Wow.
Okay. He said, it was a trip. Well, probably literally it was
a trip.
Yeah. Another dear friend of mine, Stephanie. Oh, her father died. I was at her house, and he walked past me on the stairwell.
Wow.
Okay.
All
right.
Interesting. Oh my God.
Good for him.
I don't know if he pictured the first person on the toast or whether he was making toast and then. All right. Oh, for God's sakes, Chris! Really? How am I supposed to go on? The 90s are officially over now.
Yeah.
Chumbawamba.
No, Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
Yes.
They did.
I get knocked out.
Yeah.
I get up again.
Wish I knew you were doing this so I could get the music.
They've announced their split after 30 years. A farewell tour is planned.
Really?
Will it just be the one
through
song?
A medley of their hits?
Just tump something over and over?
They have. I get knocked down, and I get up again, and I fall over again, and then I get up again, and then I get knocked down.
So
again,
that happened.
And then I get up again,
right.
And then I have a whiskey drink and vodka.
Okay. There's no point in going on. We're going to leave now.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see you tomorrow for Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying on the Stephanie Miller Show. Bye-bye.